Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us today. So, usually around the holidays and, November, December time, there is a Giving Tuesday. Well, because of everything that's going on and the need for giving right now, today is Giving Tuesday Now Day. And so there are several entities that are in need of your support. American Heart Association is one of them. The United Way is another, and there's so many others. Ones that you probably know about, but I wanted to highlight a couple of them today, and one of my favorites is Habitat for Humanity. And from Habitat, we have Mary Alice Fish on this morning to give us some insight in terms of what Habitat is doing now. You know, usually Habitat requires a lot of volunteers. It's kind of hard to do in, you know, the social distancing age, but we want to talk about what Habitat is and what Habitat needs right now. Good morning, Mary Alice. How are you?
Good morning, G. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well in this crazy time that we're going through right now. But we're so appreciative that you're having us on your show. We love to tell the community what we're doing. Got a lot of friends out there, and we sure do miss them on the build site.
I'm sure. And I'm looking forward to where we're able to get back and do a little bit more hands-on stuff for our, you know, residents here. So you're with Habitat of Greater Orlando and Osceola. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with the organization here locally.
Okay. So, we are Greater Orlando and Osceola Habitat. About over a year ago, we became the affiliate of record for Osceola County. So we cover a big area, and we're a busy affiliate. We're a large affiliate, one of the biggest affiliates in the country, one of the top 30 affiliates, building about 30 homes a year. So we're busy, and we one thing that mobilize is that we're building single-family home neighborhoods in our community. So right now we're building two communities, one in south of Apopka and one over on the west side, Silver Pines Point, off of Pine Hills Road. When that one's done, there'll be 58 homes. It's a great community right off the trail. We're very excited about that one. And the one in south of Apopka is just kind of off of Claricona Road and 441. It's kind of nestled back there at community. It's a sister community to one we just finished up there, Arbor Bend, 34 homes. So we're busy helping people fulfill that dream of home ownership. They buy their homes from us. So it's some really hardworking, ambitious families out there. And we are thrilled to be able to partner with them and help them get into, you know, stable, healthy homes, which we know right now, right, G, is so important with everyone having to shelter in place, right? How do you shelter in place if you don't have a home?
Yeah, so true. I wanted to find out from you, Mary Alice, how have things changed since the virus pandemic hit? With the coronavirus, you know, there's this
right.
requirement of social distancing, you
right.
know, so, and you know, I've been on a couple of your sites and projects, you know, whether it's a grand
yeah.
opening or whether it's an actual build where you have tons of people just coming out and swinging
yeah.
hammers
yeah.
and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me, how has that changed for you guys?
Yeah. Well, it's been a big change. You're right. So, you know, we can have as much, you know, as 30 to 50 volunteers on any given day. And right now we have none. So it's really difficult. You know, it's a big part of our mission, but we had to stop early in March. We stopped, you know, it started with no more than 20, no more than 10, then eventually none. But we really felt very quickly that we needed to keep our volunteers safe. So we canceled the build early on. Reopen until we can figure out how to keep everybody healthy, because everybody's, you know, we can distance you, but you're using tools. We got to keep those tools cleaned. And so right now we're doing a lot of that work ourselves. You know, 20 to 30% of all of our work is done by volunteers. So we've been able to keep those houses being built and on schedule for those homeowners that are waiting for their home. We're having to bring in contractors and pay contractors to do the work. So that's been an added expense to us, which is why we're really thrilled that they launched a Giving Tuesday now. It does give people the opportunity to help support that effort of getting those homes completed. So that's been a hardship for us. Building continues, but it has slowed because of that. We are hoping that when we can figure out a way, and we're working, you know, Habitat for Humanity is an affiliate of a larger HFHI, Habitat for Humanity International. So we've got a lot of good, thoughtful, smart people figuring out how to bring volunteers back to the build sites across the country, quite frankly, for habitats. So once we know, we'll be reaching back out to our community. But meanwhile, what we're doing is we are just doing the work ourselves. We do have a construction crew. We've got a couple of site supervisors. We've got a project manager who are out on the build site on a regular basis, working with our contractors to get, you know, houses built. What hasn't changed is we're still closing homes. So yesterday, 4 homeowners closed on their homes and are currently moving in. So that's the good news, is we've got homeowners in our pipeline who are ready, still working, and ready to move into their homes. So that's the good news part of this story.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point, because I know you all usually do some kind of big celebration or ribbon cutting or sometimes for these people that are moving in. So hopefully in the future you'll be able to do some of that as well. We want to get back to being able to celebrate all the good work that you all have done and the homeowners, because we got to remind everybody is that this is also hands-on for the people. This is not just the home that's being given away. This is a hands-on effort for the homeowner as well, you know, to come in and put in some sweat equity. So
that's tricky too, is the sweat equity part, right? So the homeowners have got to be able to come out safely and do their sweat equity. So we'll have to look at that as well. You're absolutely right. You know, how can we keep them safe on the build site, but them to still get their, you know, couple hundred hours in order to, you know, finish and close on their home.
So, and that's for people that don't know, that's not just the structure, that's landscaping and everything else that goes, that's involved with that. Yeah. I mean, the home is a complete home when the person move in. And then the last time that I think I was on one of your sites, there's a move toward, I guess, what is it called? Universal design, if I'm not mistaken, where they're trying to, could you talk about that, please?
Yeah. So one of the things that we're trying to do, we've got a couple of great things that we've incorporated into our homes. And one of the things is, we do a universal design, which allows for people to age in place. They have a little bit wider halls. The bathroom doors are all wider so that walkers and wheelchairs, if anybody has taken in a family member, the first thing you realize is, oh, we can't get that through the door, you know? So that's some of the things that we're doing in order for people to be able to stay in that home, because we find that most Habitat homeowners stay. They don't move. You know, this is something, they're from the community, their family lives nearby, they're tight-knit, you know, relationships, they've got grandchildren, they've got kids, so they stay. And, you know, one of the things we're seeing is that if homes are not ready to age in place, it's quite an expense down the road. As a matter of fact, one of the other things that Habitat does, and a lot of people don't know this, is we do repairs. This year we'll do almost 50 home repairs or revitalizations to homes. And a lot of that are, you know, some of that can be roofs and some other things. But a lot of that is aging in place repairs. So it allows us to go in and perhaps make a bathroom accessible to somebody who will be in a wheelchair or in a walker. Stay in than having to go to an assisted living or a nursing home. You know, that's just, God forbid, the expense of those is pretty high. So that's a big part also of what we do. And so we're trying to get out ahead of that by designing homes that are able, people are able to age in place. One of the other things too is we are a green certified builder, which means that we use some elements of our building design that allow us to have a home that is certified green build, windows, our roofing, and it allows us to provide for the homeowner a home that is under $1,000 annually to heat or cool, which is huge for any of us, but it's a very big deal for our homeowners who've come from leaky apartments, you know, with high utility bills.
Okay, so and then from start to finish, approximately how long does a project like this take?
It can take about, fold in the work of the homeowner can take about a year, you know, giving them some time to come in, from start to finish, fill out the application, get approved, the house starts to get built. We don't do a lot of spec building, so it's about the pipeline. And then it's about 6 to 8 months, you know, depending on where we're building and the time it takes for all of the permitting and so forth, and then the closing. So in a year, a homeowner can be in their home. And that can vary, of course. Things happen. But we like to say about 12 months.
About 12 months, okay. So, yeah. Even though the home may go up fast, there's a whole process involved.
Right.
And then how do people apply?
So we have an application process that opens and closes kind of those of our building schedule. Right now, the application process is closed. It will be opening later on this spring. So you just have to keep checking back to the website. And it's an application. We have an outstanding homeowner services division. They've been years and many, many years. And they're incredibly compassionate and competent, which is a great, great combination. And they, you fill out the application and they work with you. So, there are a lot of, like anything else, there are a lot of parameters that people have to meet, and that's handled by our homeowner services. To easily sum it up, basically, they have to have a need, they have to be able to pay a mortgage, and they have to be willing to partner with us. So that ability to pay a mortgage is a financial component, and that's complicated and sort of beyond my pay grade, but our homeowner services work very closely with those that apply. For those that might not qualify at this time, we have a mentorship program, which is relatively new, but we're pretty excited about it because it helps get people who might not yet quite be ready to assume a mortgage, to pay for a mortgage, to get ready. And they work with volunteers who volunteer their time to our organization and help people get their credit in shape, help educate them with regards to, what that might look like, what the resources are in the community, and somebody that just kind of can keep them psyched up, you know, because it's not always easy, you know, and it's easy to kind of just, you know, think, well, you know, I've been, you know, denied. We like to say not denied, just delayed, you know, that this is always possible. Our homeowner stories are amazing. People apply 2-3 times because either they're not ready or something happens in their lives. But coming back, I met a gal who I did an event with, and she was representing Habitat as a homeowner. And she told me that she applied 4 times.
Oh, wow.
And yes. And a couple, she had just personal reasons that she wasn't able. Her mom got sick. She got sick. And the fourth time, she said, no, it was time. And she said she was blessed with, you know, everything falling into place. And sure enough, she owns a home of her own. She lives in our Arbor Bend community. So, you know, life happens to all of us. And because this is a pretty ambitious process, you know, you have to be able to do these sweat equity hours. You have to be able to do the classes. There's, you know, 17 different classes that they take that 17 hours, excuse me, of classes that our homeowners take that educate them budget, how to do a will, because, you know, you're going to own this home. It's your, you know, it's your biggest investment. What would happen if something, God forbid, happened to you? What happens to this home? So that you have to be able to do that. So if life changes, sometimes you have to, you know, take a step back, but you're always able to come back and start again. So that's important for people to know. And this mentorship program is our way of keeping people connected to our mission, you know, to the process. So we're pretty excited about that.
We are going to take a quick break. We are here with Mary Alice Fish of Habitat for Humanity. And if you have a question when we come back, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you?
Hi, welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Giving Tuesday now. It's a new Giving Tuesday, not like the ones we do around the holidays, but there are a lot of organizations and entities out there that are in dire need of your ability to give in some way, shape, or form. And one of those is Habitat for Humanity. I'm here with Mary Alice Fish. And I wanted to ask you about, you were talking about the funds that you need, because now you're having to actually hire labor since you can't take volunteer labor right now. But you usually have fundraisers. Can you talk about basically what would you have taken in an annual period, and how short are you falling toward that goal right now, and how can people help?
So a couple of things. So yes, we have a Women Build in May that had to be canceled. That event raises about $100,000 annually for the organization, so that will be sorely missed. You know, we'll try to do something in the fall, but it's hard. We don't know what the fall will bring. You know, there's so much uncertainty. So that's definitely an area that we'd hope that Giving Tuesday now will allow us to recover. We do we have a lot of great corporate built. So we have, you know, a strong corporate community that supports our organization, and then they come out, they often sponsor their build day. So, you know, that can be those donations can be anywhere to the, you know, from $2,500 to $10,000 a build, depending on the size of the company. So that's a significant loss to us for the next, you know, several months. We don't really know when that will end, when they will, you know, be able to open back up. You know, not just us, also corporate people are concerned about their employees. You know, do we want to send them out? What do we want them to be able to do? You know, will they be protected? So we're concerned about that. We're also assisting, you know, we've got, you know, if we've got homeowners that have lost their jobs, they and can't pay their mortgage. So that's a piece of the puzzle for us. And we continue to pay the escrow for our homeowners, you know, covering their insurance. Really important, right? With particularly in Florida, that their homeowner insurance is covered, and hurricane season is right around the corner. So we continue to do that as we work with our homeowners to get them back up. And you know, that can be as much as $30,000 a month. And so, you know, that's a considerable amount. We don't know, you know, when everybody will recover. So that could be another 100,000. So we're looking at a relatively large amount of cash loss due to those types of things, and cash spent for homeowner, you know, for building the homes. So, you know, a roof is, you know, is $10,000, you know, to put that on. Put on the siding is, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 per house. So those are the costs that we will start to occur. And for the events, you know, a build from a corporation for $5,000, an event for $100,000, that will start to lose. So you can see how those numbers start to get, you know, challenging. Thankfully, we're working hard. We've got people that we're, you know, that we're calling and talking to about our mission. But we'd love people to think about Giving Tuesday now and helping us by going to www.habitatorlandoosceola.org, and you know, buy us a box of nails or buy us a roof. You know, any amount is a great amount.
And so, are you doing any type of let's say drives right now via fun, like Facebook? Sometimes I know they have fundraisers there or whatever. You're just right now using this day to ask people to come on, you know, to donate right now. And also too, and I know it's kind of hard to predict, it just really kind of depends on other people, but when do you foresee possibly people being able to come back and pitch in? You were talking about Arbor Bend. I think that was the last one that I worked on. But when do you foresee that?
So we're going to probably go through the summer with no volunteers as we get our strategy and, you know, our protocol in place. Summer's mm-hmm. not actually really hugely busy time. It's really for the diehards because it's so hot. But, we're going to look at the fall and see what that looks like and see, you know, what the best protocol is from the community leaders. And you know, how we can bring people back as soon as we can, we will. But that is something that we will be working with leadership, with our construction crews, and with, you know, with the community leadership on how they feel, you know, this whole volunteering piece, and not just us, it really kind of goes for everyone, should be handled. So, you know, we'd love to be able to – we have a fun event at Christmas, Holiday Build. We'd love to be able to. Nice fundraiser. It's a great time. Everyone wears these crazy T-shirts and, you know, Santa hats. And it's a really fun time. It's a great alternative giving event. So, we'd love to be able to do something like that. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that the fall will yield us the opportunity to bring people back. It's such an important part of our mission, right?
Right, exactly. So, again, how can people help? What's the contact information?
So, our website is very accessible. So, if you'd like to give, we thank you for helping us continue to build homes. We have 17 individual families in the pipeline waiting for their home. So, we are pushing forward. That's HabitatOrlandoOsceola.org. We'd love you to tell a friend about us, introduce us, advocate for fair housing, fair and affordable housing. All of that information, it can be found on our website on how to get involved. Hold a virtual fundraiser for us. You know, if it's your birthday right around the corner, it's a great instead of gifts. We'd love you to have a Habitat birthday party. I can be reached. All my contact information is on the website as Mary Alice Fish. You can call me directly, email me. I'd love to chat with you to see, you know, how I can get you more involved. If you need some more information, I can also provide you with that. So we're always looking to expand our reach, you know, financially and also with human capital. So it never hurts to have people, reach out. We do a builder's blitz every year where we have residential builders build us a house. We had 6 builders this year. We're always looking for new builders. So if you work for a builder or you know a builder that might be interested, it's going to be more important than ever this year that we are engaged with that community and helping us build homes. So that's another way. Again, my information is on the website as well as information on that event. That's in February every year. It's a really fun event, but it's incredibly impactful for the organization because the builder does donate that that house to us. And we're able, you know, it helps us, the bottom line, of course. So,
Mary Alice, thank you so much. Mary Alice Fish here from Habitat for Humanity. Be well, be safe, and be blessed.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all your listeners for listening and being interested. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So before I go on, because we're going to go to break real soon, I want to say that I was negligent, because I usually try to keep up on this stuff, that Tuesday, also today, is National Teacher Appreciation Day, and I think this whole week is National Teacher Appreciation Week. So I want to tell you teachers that you are not, you don't necessarily flip my mind, the day flip my mind, but I'm always, always, always appreciative of our teachers. So if you see a teacher, I know you can't hug them right now, you know, do a high five or anything like that, but wave, say thank you, send the card, do something, but let our teachers know, you know, give a donation too, because they give a lot, and a lot of the expenses for our kids, sometimes they come out of their pockets to give. So on this Giving Tuesday now, please remember our teachers, you know, say thank you, send some flowers to let them know they are loved. Also, by the way, don't forget, it is Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. We want to let our mothers know that they are greatly appreciated. Our mothers right now, for the most part, in a lot of cases, are acting as our teachers, too, as well, so or at least teacher aid, you know, in some respect. So please just remember that. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break. We are also going to talk about another organization when we come back that could use probably your help on this Giving Tuesday. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dip Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good morning and almost afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We want to also thank Mary Alice Fish from Habitat for Humanity of Orlando and Osceola for letting us know what's going on with them and what their needs are. Really hard to kind of do the effort without the volunteers, but they still need donations right now. Try to keep our new residents, our new homeowners on track in terms of their homes. So, you know, like I said, I know Giving Tuesday is usually later on around the holidays, but then I found out about this today, among some other things going on today, and I wanted to highlight a couple of organizations. And one that I came across that I wasn't quite familiar with, not having any young kids right now, is the Orlando After School All-Stars. And so I reached out to them, and so Stevie John has agreed to talk to us today, let us know what it's about, and I guess how things have changed in the coronavirus pandemic age right now, and the kids being not necessarily in school physically. But Stevie, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, good, Gretchen. Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, tell everybody a little bit about what Orlando After School All-Stars is and how it started.
Sure. So Orlando After School All-Stars was founded within the city of Orlando just over 20 years ago. And we do have national offices in Los Angeles. And our national founder is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And we made it to Orlando because we – when he was building Planet Hollywood, that was the footprint for this program. It was then called Inner City Sports. So we have since then become the premier youth program for the city of Orlando serving at-risk kids.
And what type of programs does After School All-Stars usually provide for the kids?
Sure. So typically in a traditional school setting, we provide before care. And we're really well known for our after-school programming. We provide comprehensive programs that could include tutoring, mentoring. We also have academic enrichment opportunities, various clubs, sporting leagues, service learning. We also have programs within our high schools that are concurrent to the actual school day as well that are – it's a career readiness track called Opportunity Jobs Academy. But typically, the bulk of the students that we serve are just over this year, 3,000 middle school students within the city footprint.
Wow, that's good. So, but I wanted to ask you, I know things have changed a lot with everybody sheltering in place, quarantining, social distancing. How has the program had to change? Has it shut down completely right now, or has it amended how it does some of the work that it does?
Sure. So typically we operate within the school building, so we don't have your typical overhead for an after-school program. So because Orange County Public Schools has closed their buildings, we have had to shift gears and operate in a virtual space. And we did that quite quickly. So just as the kids were transitioning into, you know, their academics virtually, we were able to really provide, you know, a virtual safe space. Initially it was primarily for tutoring services, and then now we've kind of expanded into offering mentoring, just giving the kids, you know, somebody different to talk to about, you know, what's going on in their lives, how, you know, they're handling quarantining, you know, from a mental capacity and what that looks like. And then we've also, we're in the depths right now of planning our summer programming, which again, typically takes place in the brick and mortar space, but we are going to be offering virtual summer camp this year. And we are really looking forward to hosting, you know, a virtual space, again, that has different buckets of offerings, for example, health and wellness, some STEM activities, some, you know, celebrity guest STARS workouts or Q&A sessions, some gaming opportunities, engineering pieces. So we've really, you know, been lucky to have some really great partners, new and some of our, you know, continued supporters really hop on board and be able to bring this opportunity to the kids at their homes.
So now, how does a child qualify to get involved in the program? How long, you were talking about your summer program. So, I mean, basically, it seems like this program is year-round with maybe a few breaks in between here and there.
Right. So typically, we offer services to 9 middle schools in the city footprint. Again, that is the before care and after care. Throughout the summer, we typically offer the services throughout the summer camp Monday through Thursday within those same spaces, those same locations. This year, because we were in the process of registering for summer camps, we have, you know, obviously extended it to our students, but then we will also be, you know, serving other students as well. And, you know, part of the initiative in this is trying to get the word out. We know that there are not too many summer opportunities since a lot of camps have canceled and there's, you know, there's nowhere physically that kids can go in a lot of areas. So we are going to be potentially bringing in kids from other areas that we would not typically serve, just so that they could also, you know, participate in the virtual summer space.
Okay, and then you say middle schoolers, so you have kids that I guess graduate out of the program. I was wondering, do any of the older kids ever come back as volunteers to assist with the program in some way?
Yes, absolutely. So we do have, you know, our bread and butter, if you will, to the program. Again, it's free for those students that attend that school. They are middle schoolers. Then they, you know, could graduate into the high school program, which, again, we offer a career readiness program for two of the high schools within the city footprint. And then we do have students that come back specifically in the summer months to support the camp. And they, you know, many of them are former students of ours. So they have been through, you know, kind of the entire program as a whole. And they come back as camp counselors.
Okay. And then you were talking about having mentors and everything. How do you go about recruiting mentors for the program, and is there a screening process?
Yes, sure. So we actually, because we are under the City of Orlando umbrella, we do have a mentoring program that is built within our After School All-Stars program, and then we also have a mentoring program that is for young men of color. It's called My Brother's Keeper. Many have probably heard of it. Stems from the Obama Foundation. That program, we do have a screening process, and they recruit African American individuals, professionals that have a service industry, you know, commitment. And so we are currently recruiting for the fall for that program. The mentorship program for After School All-Stars, that curriculum falls within our traditional, you know, after school setting. So those kids are mentored and have specific curriculum that our counselors follow for that program.
Okay. And so let's say, because it says after school, so typically I'm assuming this would be something that would be occurring right after school on the school campus. With things that are different now, I'm assuming, are the hours the same, or are you, do you extend any of your programs into the weekends? Can you talk about how that works?
Sure. So because of the transition into the virtual space, we've kind of found ourselves needing to meet the students where they need to be met. So if that means, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock at night, we're able to provide those students support. We are in the process of creating more of a master calendar, if you will, where the services would take place Monday through Friday. We're looking at time chunking hours, so maybe we have a track that's 9 to 12 and then a potential track that's 3 to 6 or something like that, so that, you know, students, regardless of what their other commitments might be academically or personally, that they will be able to join us at some point during that time to do an activity of their choice. So, for example, if they joined, you know, in the morning session, we would have time blocked of activity. So we might be building a virtual rocket, for example, from 9 to 9:45. So if they would like to participate in that, then they're able to join the virtual classroom to do so. And then the same goes with the evening hour track. So, you know, it is our commitment that we are available to the students. I mean, a lot of them do rely on us in that way. So one of the challenges that we've had, and I know that it's, you know, kind of the same in for the school district, but is ensuring that these students have the resources to and ability to get online. And so that is one of our priorities leading into the summer to ensure that all students have access and have the ability to join, you know, to do a fun activity or join us for the entire summer in that way.
Okay. And so now, are the parents involved as well?
So we do have a parent involvement. Typically throughout the school year, we do a variety of parent-student-centric events. We might host an event in partnership with Cox Media, for example, where we have a guest speaker come out and speak to the parents on a specific topic. It could be financial empowerment or, you know, transitioning professional careers and what that might look like. And then we also have activities for the kids during that time, as well as feed them a meal. Because of the transition and kind of trying to, you know, react to our current circumstances, we are planning to host a variety of parent-centric sessions. We're trying to figure out how that might work best, given that, you know, a lot of parents are within their home working and trying to juggle multiple things. So just trying to find, you know, the sweet spot to be able to do that. But we do have plans to offer formal presentations. We have our Summer of Dreams program, which is the summer camp that will kick off in June. Our founding sponsor for that program is Fifth Third Bank, and they've been, you know, amazing partners and big supporters of our program over the years, and we'll be offering financial empowerment courses to our parents, as well as offering several self-paced modules to complete online, you know, things that they could really relate to or might need access to as it relates to jobs or, you know, financial empowerment, those types of things.
We are here with Stevie Johns and it's the Orlando After School All-Stars program. This is G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. We're going to take a quick break, but if questions and want to find out more or have a, if you wanted to talk to Stevie, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, Let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us today. It is Giving Tuesday now and today, and we are trying to highlight a variety of businesses, and organizations that are in need of your support. We had Habitat for Humanity on earlier. Also want to recognize that it's National Teacher Appreciation Day, and please remember to honor your teachers in some way, shape, or form, because they don't give on just one day. They give all of the time, and we need to show them that we're grateful for that. We have with us now Stevie Johns of the Orlando After School All-Stars program, and I wanted to ask you about funding, because I know, I guess you're connected with the city of Orlando, but is that the primary way you get your funds, or how else do you get funds to support the program?
Sure. So we are a program under the umbrella of the city of Orlando. That's more for administrative costs, if you will. So, for example, they give us the space to operate, and they are, you know, a large partner in help as we help them serve their kids. But we are our own entity, so we are a 501c3, and our primary funders come from various partnerships, large and small, and then also we have our premier program, which it's Summer of Dreams is the program that we offer in the summer, and that primarily serves homeless students in Central Florida. And then we also have our large premier fundraiser every November to again raise dollars for the organization and our initiatives.
Okay. And so approximately, let's say in a given normal year, how much would it cost for you to run the program approximately?
With staffing and everything, around $2 million with staffing and all the services that we provide. Now, because we are, you know, partnered under the city of Orlando, a lot of those costs are underwritten in a sense because, for example, we don't have, you know, brick and mortar spaces that we operate under. We do that under
right.
City of Orlando roof. So the typical cost to run and operate and function is about $2 million.
Okay.
And we also, because we do host, host our programming.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
No, please continue.
Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay. So because we do host our programming in Orange County buildings, they're obviously a large partner of ours, and we couldn't do the program without them. You know, there's no cost to having the program run out of their space either. So no light bills, no rent or electricity, all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. And you said this is for just 3,000 students, correct?
Yes, we serve the after-school program of approximately 3,000, just over 3,000 students this year for the before and after-school program. And then in the summer, we serve, because we do open it up to, there's 7 of our traditional sites that we operate out of during the summer on its traditional. We serve around 2,500 kids in the Central Florida area. So there are kids that don't necessarily attend that school that do participate in our summer programming. And we partner with Boys and Girls Club to also serve those kids in the summer as well.
Okay. All right. So what would you say right now with the change and everything, what do you find your biggest difficulty is, your biggest challenge and your biggest need is right at this time?
Sure. So because we did have to kind of shift gears rather quickly and focus on, you know, priorities and commitments in a different way, we have found, you know, we've never really run into this before because we do have a relationship with the district and operate within their buildings. We have found that there are a lot of students within our population that we serve that do not have access to technology or Wi-Fi and or a cell phone. So being able to get them the tangible resources that they need to be able to, A, complete their schoolwork, because that's, you know, obviously a priority, and B, to be able to continue the camaraderie that our staff and the student have, you know, together and with others. So in addition to that, we have typically students that come to after school with us. They do receive food, and in the summers, weekend food packs are a big priority of ours. Because students right now are not in school, that's obviously one of our priorities above and beyond what the schools are doing to deliver meals, because some of these kids that we do serve, or majority of the kids that we serve, you know, do the only place that they get meals are at school. So that has been one of our top priorities. We actually recently just partnered with TikTok, the social media platform, and they're providing our Orlando chapter over $200,000 to issue grocery gift cards to our families. Oh, so wow. We're really excited about that because it's not only for the student, it's for the size of their family, which is awesome. So it could serve, you know, all of those that live under their roof, which is really cool. And then we also want to expand that into the summer months. You know, what does that look like? Is there some sort of drive that we could do and set up a grab and go? Because we're unsure right now if the schools are going to continue offering that. So that is one of our large priorities is getting food to them, but doing so within, you know, the CDC guidelines and ensuring that, you know, everyone remains safe. But we still, you know, we need our kids to ensure that they're getting food.
So are you in need of additional manpower, let's say, for delivery type services right now? Is that some way that people could volunteer?
Potentially. There are a number of ways that we could use hands-on. Right now we are operating kind of at a distance just due to the shifting, and obviously with the phase one reopening, things might kind of change a little bit. But we have a variety of ways that folks can come and help. And we are looking at scheduling out several of those events in the month of July in hopes that, you know, things have kind of changed a little bit in terms of being around in large groups. But one of the things that we could really utilize volunteers for is backpack stuffing. So we partner with A Gift for Teaching to bring all of our kids backpacks and necessities for their first day of school. So mm-hmm. getting all of that kind of, you know, put together and organized so that every student has what they need to go back to school. We are also thinking about, we haven't finalized this yet, but we're looking into having a, not a clothing drive, but a partnering with a clothing company that could provide all of our students with their first day of school outfit. We realized that, you know, things might be a little tough going back to school with parents being out of work and so on. So that's one of the things that we're looking at doing at a couple of our sites toward the end of July. And also the potential on the food side of thing. I don't know if we're going to do the delivery, but what we're looking at doing is opening up a couple of our sites for a grab and go type of scenario, very similar to what the schools have set up now, that could get us, you know, through the summer. And we will certainly be posting all of that information on both our website, OrlandoASAS.org, and also our social channels at Orlando After School All Stars.
Okay. All right. And so in terms of, you mentioned the technological aspect, which seems to be not just with your program, but it seems with just the speed. through technology because of having to keep the distancing. Are you accepting any type of donations in terms of for the kids in terms of the laptops or any of that type of stuff or any type of software?
Yeah, so not formally. I mean, we're certainly happy to take donations of hardware and software if, you know, there's an organization out there that would be willing to do that. Right now, because we're not in a face-to-face situation with the students, it's potentially a little bit more difficult to get those items to them. So what we have asked and what our plan has been for Giving Tuesday now is to drive the monetary donations because we can have them the materials shipped directly to them.
Okay.
And you know, there's not a lot of in between. Now that could change in the coming, you know, weeks given, you know, the restrictions, the lack of restrictions that will be placed from COVID-19. But we're certainly grateful for anything and everything anybody would like to donate monetarily or tangibly.
And again, what is the contact information to get in touch with you or with the program to, in order to make whatever donations you need?
Sure. So on our website, OrlandoASAS.org, there's a donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Or our Facebook channel, Orlando After School All-Stars. My email is stevie.johns, Stevie like Stevie Nicks, dot Johns, J-O-H-N-S. At cityoforlando.gov.
Okay. Stevie, thank you for taking the time out. I'm glad I came across your program because I was not aware of it before. I know there are a variety of after-school programs, and I know people are quite familiar with, like, Boys and Girls Club as well. But just to find out that there's other programs locally that are helping the kids out right now, continuing to help the kids out right now, to know, really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners. And again, if anybody has any questions or anything, the best way to reach us is on Facebook at Orlando After School All Stars.
Okay, got it. And we have posted information on G's Power Hour Facebook page. Thank you, Stevie, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank
be
you
well.
So much, G. Have a great day.
You
thank
too.
You, thank you as
you.
Well. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, there. So there's a couple of organizations, you guys, that you can help out if it's possible. We know everybody's struggling in some way, shape, or form right now, but whatever you can do this Giving Tuesday with these two organizations or any other organizations that are out there, please do so. Also, like I said, please remember it is Teacher Appreciation Day and week. So please honor our teachers that are out there. You know, don't forget also another organization that we featured earlier that's still in need, feedther.org, feed, F-E-E-D, the, T-H-E-E-R, as it says, .org, to help out our medical staff in terms of getting lunches and also supporting our local businesses. And please continue to support our local restaurants right now. And, yes, it is Cinco de Mayo. Be responsible in your celebrations. That's all we ask. Thank you for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good. Entertainment. Tomorrow we have Trelonda Triplett on. Have a blessed day. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Give up the high praise. Come on, thank you, give it up. Give up. the highest praise.